Some great news for you real quick before Brother Weber comes. Last night, you generously gave over $2,600 towards North American missions and projects. Thank you for letting your heart speak with your wallet. Thank you for giving to the kingdom of God. It is a privilege to have Brother Weber all the way from Lafayette, Louisiana, here. Didn't he preach Thursday night? God is in this place. And God is still here this morning to work in our lives. Brother Weber, thank you for your ministry. Thank you for coming and being a part of our men's conference. Come and take your liberty in Jesus.
Thank you. Can you put your hands together for the wonderful King of Kings that we serve, if he's ever forgiven one of your sins? Amen. You ought to wear your hands out just for that. Redemption's plan and the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost that he puts on our lives. What a privilege it is. Praise God. Grab your Bibles. Let's go to Matthew 27. I invite you to stand with us, as is the custom in many churches, and it is in ours. We love the Word of God, and we stand in honor of the reading of the Word. Matthew chapter 27. And as you're looking toward that beautiful scripture, starting in verse 28, I want to give honor again to the wonderful leadership of the North Texas District, Brother Flowers. What a great man. I'm so thankful to have been able to meet him this week, and what a great spirit and vision and passion I feel as I talk to him, and a kind, gentle Christian man. I think he could really give the devil a wearing out, but I'm telling you, with the people of God, he's a gentle man, and I'm so thankful for what God is doing in this part of our country. Amen. And the future for you men is certainly a bright, and I can't wait to see how God does many, many wonderful things through the great churches, using your pastors and you and the wonderful congregations where you serve and you worship. Amen. And what a men's ministry team this district has. Wow. They keep funneling in more men in here to introduce and to make announcements, and all of these wonderful quality Holy Ghost filled men. You're very blessed. There's no telling where you're heading if the rapture would tarry just a little bit, where God's going to take this men's group. God bless you greatly, and I give honor to them. And then Brother Graham, thank you for the wonderful message last night, Brother Graham and Brother Hathcock, taking us to the throne of grace. My feet are sore. I turned to Brother Enzi last night, and I said, man, my toes are so sore as Brother Graham is preaching. And it stirred me up to be a better man, to be a better husband and a better father, but most of all, a better Christian. Amen. We're so thankful for the honor of filling this podium this morning, and I don't take that lightly. I've prayed and I've fasted, and I'm believing that the Lord is going to give us a word. I'm going to Matthew 27, and by the way, the men that have been singing, oh my goodness, I like men singing. I tell you what, there's just something about men leading a service. We don't need women. We could do this thing by ourselves, but let's not try. Matthew 27, verse 28. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him. This is very important. They took the robe off of him and put his own raiment back on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear the cross. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him, verse 34, vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted. Here's a mention again of his garments. They parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. This morning, I just want to share something that I feel is an end time view of what God wants us to grasp as we begin to walk through the end times. Anybody realize that we are in the end times? I mean, we're not guessing anymore. We're not projecting faith anymore. I'm telling you, we're standing in the midst of the end times. And the Lord has some beautiful revelation that He wants to unveil to us in the end times. I believe He wants us to know about the robe of Jesus. The robe of Jesus. Lord, we're so thankful for what we feel, but most of all, what we know. Help us in this place right now, not just to come to another service. Help us to tune in to what thus saith the Word. Give us your mind and give us your heartbeat today. We're hungry to be used of you and to see the glorious promises unfold, not just around us, but in us and through us. We love you in Jesus' powerful and precious name. We pray it this morning. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. No wonder He said, whatever you delight in, I'm going to do everything in my power to help you get it. If it blesses you, if it causes you to be saved, if it causes you to be redeemed, if it causes you to be empowered by the presence of God, and if it causes you to be filled with the purpose of God, I want to give it to you, God says. He's got you over His heart. One of the shoulders, or the shoulders on the shoulders, had the epaulets. Each of the epaulet was beautiful. It was filled with precious stones. It was like a general or a commander or an admiral would wear on his shoulders. The high priest not only bore the people of God on his heart, but he bore them on his shoulders. That's what Isaiah was trying to tell us. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. The phrase speaks of kingship. It speaks of ruling power. We serve a God, brothers, who is in control. If there's any revelation I want to keep getting a deeper understanding of, it is that God is in control. Praise God. I don't care how dismal things may begin to seem to look. God is still in control. Whatever this world decides to do, it will not do anything to upset the plan of Almighty God on this earth. The Bible is still going to be true. God's church is still going to be victorious. Somebody shout, I believe it. Those desiring to be saved can still find forgiveness and power at the cross. There's still going to be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in these last days. Revival is still available. Healing and deliverance still belongs to those that put their faith in God. But I want you to notice today the garments of the Old Testament high priest. The garments of the high priest consisted mainly of three pieces. First, there's a coat that was worn next to the skin. Over that was worn a robe. And over the robe was the ephod, similar to an apron. The coat that touched the skin represented the man, Christ Jesus. The robe represented the divine, Christ Jesus. And the ephod represented His giving of Himself as a sinless sacrifice. First, let's look at the coat. It was worn next to the body, under all of the other garments, up next to the skin. It was the garment that touched the body. It's like the little boy who was afraid of the storm one dark night, and his dad went into the room, was trying to assure him that it's just the wind, it's just a storm, it's not going to hurt you, you're safe in here. And his dad knelt and prayed with him before he tucked him in the bed. And he says, now, buddy, I'm going to turn off the light. I just want to let you know you don't have to worry. When I leave, God is going to be in here with you. And the little boy thought about that for a few moments. And as the dad was closing the door, the little boy said, Dad, I'm
So glad God is in this room with me. But I sure wish there was somebody in here with skin on. And what we need more than anything else, amen, we needed a God with skin on to come into this world. Somebody who could know what it was like to walk upon this earth in human form. Jesus was a man. He was not a hologram. He was not a figment of imagination. He was not thought up, amen, as a good religious figure or some religious relic. He was God with skin on. He was a man. He stepped out of heaven and he put on a robe of flesh and he walked on this earth. When you think about that kind of God who sprinkled the heavens with the beautiful starscape and he came to this earth, it'll bring rejoicing to your soul to think that a God like that loved me enough to put skin on and go through what he went through. Almighty God in flesh. Do you understand how wonderful the sonship of Jesus is? It's because of his sonship that he understands you and me. The God that we praise in this place today is not a God who sits on some far removed throne, who cannot be touched by the feelings of our problems and issues of life. He's not a God who cannot be touched, amen, or cannot be approached. I'm preaching to you about a God who is touched by your loneliness. Oh, yes, we talk about ladies being lonely, but there are men who face loneliness. A God who comprehends discouragement. A God who can relate to your frustrations. It's all about a God who became man, and because of his sonship, he understands you. That inner coat represented the humanity of the Lord. This inner coat was made of fine linen. It was beautiful, perfect, white as snow. It's not only something that represents the humanity of Jesus, it represents his sinlessness. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Over the linen coat is worn a robe of blue. It represents the divinity. Jesus was not just a man. Jesus was God Almighty. He's not just the founder of a religion. Jesus was not just a prophet or a preacher. He's not just a good man or a good philosopher. It was not that he came to show us the way with his words that he said he could do something for us. But God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. He was not just a man. He was God all by himself. It was the man who said, of myself I can do nothing. But it was the God who said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. It was the man who wept at the grave of Lazarus. But it was the God who stepped forward and said, Lazarus, come forth. And that which was dead walked out of that burial chamber. This robe represented his divinity. And his divinity is the source of his power. It's not the power of a good man. It's not the power even of a good prophet. It is the power of Almighty God. And it's wrapped up in the robe of blue. It's that robe. That robe of blue. That robe of power. That robe of divinity. That the woman who suffered with the blood disease. For 12 years she suffered. It was that robe that when she pushed her way through the crowd by faith, she reached out and touched that robe. She felt unworthy to touch his foot. So instead she touched his robe. She could not have known that she touched the very symbol of his power and his divinity. And immediately the disease ran from her body. You will know when you have touched Jesus. I don't care what church it was at. I don't care what altar it was at. I don't care what prayer room is at. If you touch him, you will know when you have touched the Lord, for you will feel his power. You will feel the divine part of the Almighty God we serve. When you touch him, power will begin to flow, and whatever holds you captive has got to let go of you. Praise God. Pray. I think we ought to clap our hands. Oh, that power is available to us in this house. Hallelujah. It was the robe of divinity that they took off of Jesus when they were mocking him and ridiculing him. What the Bible tells us. They took that robe of divinity from his back. Then his back was beaten. His face was slapped and his beard was plucked literally out of his face. They didn't understand symbolically what they were doing when they took his blue robe. And the Bible says they put on him a scarlet robe. While they beat Jesus, they removed the divinity and replaced it with a robe of suffering, because God, the Spirit, cannot suffer. But he put on flesh so that he could be wounded for our transgressions, so he could be bruised for our iniquities, so the chastisement of our peace would be upon him, and with his stripes. I'm so glad he took the robe of divinity off for just a moment, and he put on the robe of suffering for my sake and for your sake, because now I can run to him and I can find healing. I can find forgiveness. I can find redemption and deliverance in my life because of the robe of suffering. Once again, would you just give him praise, love him. Oh, this is the one we serve. This is the one we love. This is the one who is head over heels in love with us. But they could not keep the robe of suffering on him. For the Bible tells us finally, they removed the scarlet robe and they put back upon him the robe of divinity. This is a symbol. This is very symbolic in itself. He was going to experience death, but with the robe of divinity, unlike the robe of suffering, the robe of divinity wouldn't allow him to stay in a grave. He was going to be placed in a grave. But that robe of divinity would not keep him there. Death would not hold him there. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? I'm so thankful that I've got a God who put on a robe of suffering. But he is not lessened in his divinity by putting on that robe. For he was able to step out of a grave that couldn't hold him. He was able to kick death in the mouth because death could not keep him. And the Bible says that same spirit that dwelled in Christ. Hallelujah. Over the coat of linen was the blue robe, and over that blue robe was the ephod. The ephod was made of three different colored threads. There was the blue, which represented his divinity, scarlet, which represented his humanity, his blood, and purple thread, which represents his kingship. The garments of the Old Testament high priest were symbolic of Jesus Christ. It describes a man who died for the sins of the world, God who conquered death, hell, and the grave, and a king who reigns eternally. Jesus is the Old Testament garment of the high priest. But where is the garment now? The garment of power and majesty. The garment of triumph and victory. The garment of purity and righteousness. Where is the robe of Jesus? In the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah, he has heard from God. God's coming to get me. God's going to take me away. I've heard from the Lord. The prophet has a servant. His name is Elisha. And even though his master told him to stay behind, he refused repeatedly, and he said, wherever you go, I am going to be there. You're not going to leave my sight. And as they march to the bank of the flooded Jordan River, the prophet removes his garment or his mantle. And the Bible says he walks up to the waters of the Jordan, and he takes that garment and he smote the waters of that swollen river. And when he did, the waters parted, and Elijah the master and Elisha the servant walk over on dry ground. And as they walk together on the other side, the prophet says, why to Elisha, why are you so intent on following me? What do you want? And the servant says, I want that power that you have. In fact, I want twice as much, amen, as you have. Praise God. And Elijah said, that's a tough thing you're asking for. And it's not tough for me to give it to you. But it's going to be tough for you to get it, because you've got to have a made up mind. And you've got to make sure you're disciplined enough to go after what you want the most. So if you're still around after you wash my hands and feet for a long time, many weeks and months, if you're still around after we go through the Jordan, after we go through the wilderness, after we go through all the cities where they're throwing stuff at us, and all you're doing is waiting on me, if you're still around, he said, when I'm taken up, he said, you'll get what you ask for. Suddenly, a heavenly chariot drawn by horses of fire appear in the sky. And a whirlwind catches the prophet of God away. And Elisha the servant looks up and watches the man of God, the prophet whom he has served, go away in the clouds. And he cries out, my father, the horsemen of Israel and the chariot thereof. As the prophet disappears into glory, he removed his coat, his mantle from off his shoulders, and he tosses it out of the chariot. And Elisha the servant watches as it drifts down to the ground. He runs over and he picks it up and he realizes, I've got the master's garment. He ran back to the flooded waters of Jordan, because that's the last place he saw the power work through the master. And he took that cloak and he reared back and he smashed that cloak against the waters of Jordan. And those waters began to shake and tremble. And all of a sudden, a highway opens up in the middle of that river, just like it did for the prophet of God. And the Bible says, as he travels his way away from Jordan through Jericho, the people say, the spirit of the master is upon him, the servant. And our master, Jesus, said, I must go away. But you don't need to worry. I'm not going to leave you empty-handed. If you are waiting in Jerusalem for my promise, There you will receive what you have hungered for. They witnessed him as he ascended from Mount Olivet. They watched him until he was received in the clouds out of their sight. The scripture says that they went back to Jerusalem and they tarried in an upper room. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. And suddenly the master's garment, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Where is the garment? The garment of power. The garment of authority. The garment of triumph. The garment of victory. Paul tells us in Galatians 3, for as many that have put on Christ, amen, are called the sons of God. If you've been baptized in his name, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you are wearing the robe of Jesus Christ. You're wearing the master's garment. When the devil comes with all of his attacks, I want him to see the robe that I have on. I want him to see what I'm wearing. I'm not just wearing religion. I'm not just wearing some tradition of men. But when I repented of my sins, I put on a scarlet robe. When I was baptized in his name, I put on a blue robe. When I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I put on the purple robe of kingship. Now I wear the garment of power. Now I wear a garment of authority. Now I wear a garment of victory and triumph. We're walking in this world covered by the robe of Jesus. Come on, it's more than a religious ritual that you received. It's more than just a tongue-talking experience that you receive. You've got a robe. You've got a robe, a garment of the Master upon you. Whew. Hallelujah. I wish I could hear some man in this place shout, I've got it. I've got it. The devil's trying to convince you that you don't. But I've given you scripture today to tell you you have. Praise God. Please be seated for just a second here. I need to just give you one more thought. Isaiah 61 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Why do you have that kind of joy? For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe, Isaiah says, of righteousness. I'm wearing the same garments the apostles wore. I'm wearing the same robe the early church wore. The same robe that the woman with the issue of blood touched. I'm wearing that robe. The same robe his tormentors had to put back upon him when they finished mocking him. We are wearing his power. We're wearing the robe of Jesus. That's why Jesus says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When you get my robe on you, there's going to be a power envelop your life. Don't let the adversary talk you into using less of what it can accomplish. Don't let the adversary get you to put it on the back burner and not believe the power that's invested in it. Everything that God is, all of His power, all of His might is available to you right now. And I don't care how impossible it might look. Right now you are a church that God has put all of His power into, all of His might, and all of His fullness. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You ought to be thankful you got the robe on. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. We talk a lot about Him being in us, but He talks a lot about us being in Him. For ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality, and here it is, power. I close with this. I was raised in a home that I would never wish upon anybody else. I had a father who was a wonderful man, except when he had a bottle in his hand and he began to drink, which was most of the time. He was a full-fledged alcoholic. I've counseled a lot of people over the many years that I've pastored and ministered, and I've seen few that can equal the drinking aptitude of my father. If you think I messed up now, you should have seen me as a kid. I saw things a child should never have to see. I went through things that a child should never have to go through. In my home was cursing and violence, lewdness, turmoil, chaos. But my mother would dress us kids and put us in that old Chevy Impala and take us to the greater First Pentecostal Church of Alexandria. And I don't know what church was to the other people, but to me and my mother, church was a sanctuary. A lot of people went there because they wanted God. But my mother and I and my brothers and sisters were there because we needed God. We needed Him. What a soothing balm church was to us. Coming out of a pit onto a pew, and the soothing balm of Gilead was rubbed on us. My bishop, G.A. Mangan, would preach the word. And I'm telling you, that word would wash my mind. It would make me forget for just a few moments of all the junk and the stuff that was waiting when I got back home. I cannot express to you what church means to me. So let me tell you, when somebody starts down in the church, boy, I don't have much tolerance. You talked about tolerance last night. I don't have much tolerance because I know what the church did in my life. And I know what the church means for me. If you down the church, that means you ain't got really in it yet. If you start mouthing, bad mouthing the church, that means your spirit's wrong. You're not in the right place. Anybody that starts doing that around you, you ought to put a stop to it. You ought to put your hand up and say, don't talk about my church. I would not be anywhere worth anything, and I wouldn't be saved, and I wouldn't be healed, and I wouldn't be strong if I didn't have a church. Church meant everything to me. Not too many years ago, my aunt, the last sibling from my father's family, passed away. And we attended the funeral in Texas City, not far from here. And I remember my father's family. All I remember of them, that all the men in my father's family were full-fledged alcoholics. I remember meeting all of my uncles. They always had a drink, every one of them in their hand, greeting us at the door, drunk constantly. My father told me about his father. He said his father was an alcoholic. He never talked about his grandfather, which would be my great-grandfather. So we got on the internet and we began to make calls, and we traced our my great-grandfather all the way back to Germany and found out through German publications, newspapers, and etc., that my great-grandfather was an alcoholic and he had committed suicide. So there's my heritage. All of the male Webers above me were alcoholics. All of them. All of them. And at the graveside service, maybe 50 or 75 people standing there, I was meeting Webers I'd never met before. One man walked up to me and introduced himself as one of my uncle's sons. And he asked, who are you? I said, well, I'm Jack's son. And he says, well, what do you do? And I said, I'm a minister. And his jaw dropped open. And for a moment, he couldn't believe what he said. And then in a loud voice, he cups his hand. And to the audience in the graveyard, he says, hey, everybody, a Weber made it. Hallelujah. And I thought about that. Would you stand with me? I thought about that. And I should have been through a number of marriages like my father. I should have been through a dozen clinics. I've been there in the clinics with him, visiting him so many multitudes of times. I should have already been treated for depression and addiction. And I was looking, what is the difference? There's no difference in me, my father, my uncles, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, except one thing. Just one thing. The only difference I could find was when I was 10 years old. Yeah. We were feeling what we're feeling in this place today. And the preacher finished and I ran to the altar and repented of my sins. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I put on the robe of Jesus Christ. And that generational curse was broken forever. Now my sons are filled with the Holy Ghost. My grandchildren are in church. I've never been drunk. I've never known liquor. I've been happily married for 35 years. Because I put on the robe. Oh. You have a robe of power that can get you through any generational curse, that can deliver you through any stronghold from any issue of life. You have the robe of Jesus. Oh, would you lift your hands right now? God, you know what we face. You know our weaknesses, whether it's generationally or whether we brought it upon ourselves, you know. But Lord, that's why you put a robe upon us and power in our lives to execute against the adversary who desires our soul. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. There's a robe of power in this place. There's a robe of authority in this house. Come on, that's it. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you can bring down an answer right now. You can bring a message down right now that can deliver you a promise of the Word. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Halabo shatala rabasi, shololo bo sataya, Do you love him? Does anybody love him this morning? Come on, let that power flow.